and he can come back and jump in. So we'll handle it that way. You know, we are still in, this is, I guess we're going to cover week number nine, which really gets into client acquisition and leadership. Some of these concepts we've been talking about throughout the program. And so today, I would always say, hey, when we get to acquisition and leadership, we'll kind of cover this point. So that's what today is going to be about. But before we get started, you know, why don't you all give me an update on anything that is on your mind, anything that you are finding that might be a bit of a challenge or otherwise, or even some success stories. So why don't you start, Audra, and then we'll go to Bridget.
Well, so we had a lunch on Friday with he's an insurance guy who is certified financial. Hello?
Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear that funny connection, or was that just on my end?
We didn't hear
it. Yeah, I heard it.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We had a lunch with he's in insurance and is a CFP. And Kelly met him through one of our CPAs, and he has a very deep CPA network, which is something honestly that we don't have. We've never been very successful in our attempts at marketing to CPAs. But he has, and he wants to, you know. We shared with him the Supernova protocol, and you know, specifically, well, I just everything about it, you know.
Okay.
And so he really liked that, and so I think we're on board to have a good referral back and forth relationship.
Okay.
As good. Well as, I think it's going to really, I don't know, Kelly and I disagree on this point, but I feel like we can learn a fair amount from him. You know, he's never been very good at their CPA referrals, and he is.
Okay, good. You know, and that's a really good point. One of the things that helps with turning the CPA into a real solid center of influence is when he is able to bring his team to meet you all, and then you all go in and meet their team, and you educate them on the Supernova process, that they may be able to implement some of the strategies in their practice.
That's exactly what he said.
Okay, good. So that's kind of how you start to build those relationships. The other point that I'd like to raise is the enthusiastically endorsed model. When you ask your clients if they can enthusiastically... Hello, Kelly.
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I hope y'all got my email about that call that came in. Sorry about
that. Yes. So, you know, we're in the first part of the discussion where we talk about what's on everybody's mind, and we're just talking about the CPA story and how, you know, you all had a good appointment with a CPA, and I asked if you... We're making an effort to teach the CPA the concept of Supernova and the 1242 and that sort of thing. And, you know, Audra says that's clearly an area that you all want to get better at. And my response was, well, one of the ways to get CPA names is to use the enthusiastically endorsed model when you're doing client reviews, where you simply just ask, can you enthusiastically, what CPA are you working with, and can you enthusiastically endorse them?
Yeah, we got three of them this morning that way.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, because Bridget put it all in the folders, like there's a section in the folder where it says, you know, professional advisors, who prepares tax returns, can you enthusiastically endorse your tax advisor, same thing with the state planning attorneys and so forth. And so we started our first round of calls this morning, and I was like, you know, some of these I'd ask them for the info, but it wasn't in one central place. But anyway, I asked them, can you enthusiastically endorse them? I don't know if I would have used that wording. I did not just ask them there in the folder, but I looked in the folder, and it's just a yes or no question put in there. I kind of have to ask it, you know? What I'm kind of struggling with, though, is they don't have any problem telling you. They go, oh, yeah, I can enthusiastically endorse them or whatever. I'm kind of having a little bit of you know, I mean, what I would tell them is this, and I don't think it's the right way to handle it, but I'm just kind of jumping in. I'm sorry.
Jump right in.
But what we do is we go, okay, so tell me about, what was one of the ones this morning? So tell me about Perry, you know, because you can enthusiastically endorse him. What do you like about Perry? And then he'll tell you, you know, what he likes about Perry. And I'll just say, well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because honestly, you know, we get the question from time to time of clients that are looking for people that can help them with this sort of thing. And I'd like to meet Perry and maybe introduce him to a client at some point. What do you think about that? Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, that's kind of where it goes. And I'm probably not wordsmithing that like I could or should in order to facilitate those introductions, but that's how it's being done now.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting that you say that because we're in week number 9, and in week 10, we spend a little bit of time talking about the VISPA model, okay?
Right.
Which is all about implementing the introductions process. So just to fast forward very, very quickly, this VIPSA approach is about asking them what they value, what's important, then you seeking permission, and how would you suggest and advise that I introduce or get introduced to Joe, your CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And the client should then say, well, you know, I can facilitate, you know, in an introduction. Do you think we could do it over coffee and blah, blah, blah? And that's kind of how you facilitate that thing. So we're going to go back in another week, but if you wanted to jump ahead, look at your manual in week 10, we spend time kind of talking about that model, which is a very easy way to get the introduction because you're asking the client for their advice. So now the onus is on them to help you get the personal introduction.
Yeah, you're now engaging them in the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So remember, in Supernova, the number one best way for personal introductions is when the client is basically making the personal handoff. They are with you. You're with the person they want to introduce. And that's how that works out, okay? They're making the handoff. It's face-to-face. The second best way is when you are on the phone with the client and it's a three-way between the client and the CPA. And you are going to be asking for an appointment to meet with them. And, you know, the worst way, but it's the third way, is they give you a name, say, call this guy or this guy.
Right. Mail or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to do it that way. So you want to steer them toward the personal introduction. It's much more effective that way. Okay? And then, so this BISPA process is kind of how you dialogue with the CPA and the client. Okay. So, great. I think that's just fantastic.
Quick question, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Is Otter in line?
Yeah.
Did she tell you about the, did you tell him about that conversation with Chris Kelm?
Yes. Audra? Yes.
Okay. So I was a little bit confused because y'all were saying CPA and so it kind of threw me for a little bit of loop. Okay, good.
Okay.
No, she did a great job. She spent several hours with him and just kind of going over the 12-4-2 and everything. And, you know, I think he's going to be a nice center of influence for us. And she really did a great, wonderful job of visiting with him about all that. So, anyway, we...
So, Audrey, just to review, I mean, you know, and we'll continue like this for a few minutes before we get into today's material, but, you know, that was really outstanding. And so, as you educated them on your service model, did you also give them a folder?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I would say that on every prospect appointment, COI appointment, that you should be armed with a folder. It's going to have all of the contact information, team bios, a little bit about, you know, your firm, about a little bit about your practice, so on and so forth. And then they get entered into the schedulers so that they don't fall through the cracks. So you know the next time you are going to be in communication with this individual. Now, just following the process on your end, when you get back to your office, you're going to send out an executive summary. And the summary is going to say, hey, this is what we discussed. This is what was decided, and these were the next steps. Then a copy of the summary goes into his folder, and a copy goes into your folder, because now you're educating that individual on how to use Supernova so that they can become a really true center of influence. So those are just, and keep in mind, these are the little things, because now all of a sudden you get somebody and it's like, well, where do they fit? And are you going to call them on the third Tuesday of every month with a 15 to 20 minute, you know, update, you know, and then you're going to call, you're going to meet, you're going to send out the summary, and that's going to be placed right on your scheduler so that nothing falls through the cracks.
Hey, Curtis, I got another question, if I can.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I think Audra might have been asking one, so I'll let her go first, and then I'll go.
No, I was just saying that sounds great, so I'm good.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to, you know, you've already told them what you're going to do, and now you've got to, you know, they're thinking, okay, yeah, that's great. Let's see if this really takes place. And so, you know, always go into these sessions. And even when you get the personal introductions, Kelly, go into the personal introduction and have a folder for the client, because one of the things we talk about today is the 90-day free look. And that's why some of this just hasn't completely come together just yet, because we still have a few concepts to cover. But we'll get you comfortable with it all.
Okay.
What else along the lines of talking about what concerns you or what have you?
Yeah, I've got a two-part question. And
okay.
I think the first part's probably an admission of guilt, and the second part's probably an admission of guilt. Maybe I'm just motivated by guilt. I don't know. But if you're Catholic or Jewish, you're generally motivated by guilt. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. And the Catholic mamas and the Jewish mamas just guilt the crap out of their children. So I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm Catholic,
no,
so I'll just say that.
Okay.
I wish I was Jewish. I don't think I can be a Catholic Jew, can I? I don't think they allow that.
Well,
I have a brother-in-law who's a... Well, never mind. I won't say.
Well, you know, look, I worked in Bergen County, New Jersey, which has got blue laws, you know, so there's a primary majority Jewish community in Bergen County, so I'm very familiar. In fact, I had a rabbi in my office, so I just used to tell him, you know, make sure you say some blessings for me, too. So what was the point you were going to make?
There's a two-part question. It's something I struggle with. So it's this one client, and Nader and Bridget know her. And, you know, I had a 7:30 call with her. It's 8:30 Eastern. She's up in Bangor, Maine. So
okay.
They split half the year in Maine, where they're from, and the other half of the year they're in South Texas, about 2 hours south of San Antonio, in this little beach community called Rockport. And so my question is this. I'm having a real hard time limiting the call with her to 20 minutes. Like, it took me at least 10 minutes from the time I was like, I'm really sorry, Evelyn, but I've got to get off the call here to take care of I'm a little socially awkward. I mean, I don't know if you've picked up on that or not. I get along fine with people, but I'm a little socially awkward. And I don't want to be rude to her and just go, hey, I gotta go. You know, I gotta go. You know, and I'm not kidding. She kept me on there today for like an hour.
Wow.
And I was trying like hell to get off that phone.
Okay.
It's like that every month. She loves her call. She's one of the ones that's been on a call schedule. You know. So
yeah.
I don't know how to not.
Offend her.
How to rein her in to where I don't come across like I'm some big jerk, okay?
Okay.
That's one issue.
Well,
now, normally it's the other problem where, you know, you can't get a hold of it. She gets on a roll, and, I mean, she'll talk about everything, which is fine.
Okay.
I'm happy because I really enjoy visiting with her, honestly. I mean, you know, I like her clients. And so it's enjoyable, but it's also – a little bit of a disruptor when you got like, okay, I got a call at 7:30 and a call at 8, and it's 8:40 and I'm still on the phone with her, you know?
That's
one issue. The other thing is I think she would introduce us around. They're members of the Rockport Country Club, and they, you know, that's a pretty nice little country club in that neck of Texas, and you know, they're in their mid-70s, retired colonel in the Air Force, former pilot, all that. He's real nice. She's from South Texas originally, and but I've always kind of had a hard time sort of weaving into the conversation, well, how could we maybe meet some of your friends over at Rockport Country Club, for instance? And I'm just kind of having a hard time. I mean, we need to be doing more of that kind of thing, but I don't like to look needy or worse, you know? Am I making any sense there?
Yeah. Okay.
In other words,
so,
I think we could get the introduction. I just don't quite know how to navigate it, I guess.
Okay. Well, the part one is the length of the call. Okay. And one of the things that you should do is, when the agenda goes out to the client, you should maybe for her put down the amount of time that you want to spend in each area.
Okay.
All
right.
So that she gets the agenda, she knows what's going on, and they also need to know that you have another appointment, you know, that is, you know, taking place shortly after the call, okay? And
yeah.
One of the things you could do is you could, like, use Bridget. You know, you say, I don't know the client's name, but let's say it's
Evelyn.
Mary and Evelyn, okay?
Yeah.
Evelyn, hold on for just a moment. Oh, Bridget has just reminded me that I have another appointment in roughly 10 minutes, so I'll
yeah, that would be, that's good, yeah. I'm such a rule follower, and I don't normally just pull stuff out of my hat like that, but I think in that case it's more than justified, because, I mean, like I said, I love talking with her and listening to her, but there's a certain point where you're like, well, you know, this is affecting the other clients, you know, and I don't like that.
And so,
Kelly,
okay.
Just I want to just add one more thing. So whenever I talk to her, it's the same thing. I really like her there, too. So what I was going to say is maybe you should schedule her time slot. Maybe you should allow yourself a little bit longer. I don't know if somebody said that. I may have.
Well, I did. I allowed it an extra 30 minutes, and it wasn't enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would normally, like, do 7:30, 8, and, well, actually, I didn't. I had a 7:30, 8, and then an 8:30, but at the 8 o'clock actually was a flex call that could have gone either. I mean, and I ended up having to call him later in the morning, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we do need to allow for a little extra time, but I don't want to give her an hour when it should be 20 minutes either, you know? I mean, I've got to find a happy medium in there somewhere where I'm not diminishing
the time frame
for her, but being efficient too, you know?
Send out the time frame on your agenda, and, you know, when you reach your designated time, oops, hold on for a moment, I got my... my head of operations, Bridget, sending me a note that I got my next call in about 10 minutes, so I'll need to be wrapping up our call. But, you know, but before we close, is there anything else that you'd like to, you know, share with me? And, you know, go for that. And, you know, oops, my call is come in, so I'll need to... I'll need to go on to my next appointment, but I'll be sending you a summary of to recap what we discussed today. So, thank you so much. It's been just such a pleasure chatting with you. Be nice. Move on.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I want to try this
with her sometime.
Sorry.
Good.
Yeah. No.
Now, Evelyn, we know we can talk all day long, Evelyn, but, you know, I got this appointment I got to go to.
Well, even her husband, like in meetings and stuff, we meet with him in person, sometimes we'll get on a roll, and, I mean, I'll just look over at him, and it's like his eyes are rolling back in the back of his head, like, oh, my God, he won't stop.
I know.
Funny.
It's, so, you know, that's one of the things that you can do. Now, there was the second part of this thing was, you know, she could be a real strong referral source for the couple.
Exactly.
Team.
Yeah.
Okay. And as with all of these kinds of referrals, we're going to talk about that VIPSA model and how we get personal introductions. Okay. So let's cover that next week when we really can spend some time, you know, covering that model. Okay.
All right.
Because that is going to hold true for personal introductions from clients, from centers of influence, people in your mastermind groups. That will be a repeatable process. So I want to really spend some time covering that. Okay. So, I also wanted to finish up with Audra to make sure that there was any other stories, anything that she wanted to share as well.
Nope, that's it.
Okay. And, Bridget, do you have anything?
Not anything.
So,
I'm still working on some of the folders.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so do a few at a time.
Many folders, but I have all the other folders.
Okay, so great.
We're getting there.
Okay, super.
Yeah.
One of the things I would also suggest is when you know that they are going on an appointment or they have a call appointment, make sure that they have those folders. If they're going on a prospect appointment, make sure that they have the folder so that, you know, once they describe their service model, you know, they have immediately the folder that they can hand to the prospect, and then the prospect is immediately put onto the calendar. So, you know, it's going to be really, really important for you operationally to make sure that that happens, that you take control of that schedule. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And I know that you're doing a good job. And look, at this stage, we're shooting for perfection. But we know that it takes a while, so don't be too self-critical here. You all are doing a fantastic job with this. I'm amazed at the number of new prospects and things that are coming to the table already, and we haven't even finished the program. Okay, Kelly, anything on your mind before I go into the material for this week?
Yeah, just that business planning stuff is on the top of my mind, and I've been not good about getting it done.
Okay.
The good news is that I have it done. I just don't have it done in the format of the actual spreadsheet itself. So I'm working on that. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to tell you a story. Our 12-year-old son sat down with me about 8 or 9 days ago, and he was like, "Man, I need to see you more." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, thanks for being upfront with me about it, because you know, at least you're communicating." And so I just took the weekend, a couple of weekends, and spent some time with him that otherwise would have been dedicated to this. I try not to pull the midnight oil routine very often.
Right.
I'll do it if there's a deadline or something like that, and it's totally
pressing. Right.
But I just wanted to let you know, we are on it. We're going to get it done. And you should have it, you know, by the next call. It's just I was hoping to have it before today, and I'm just not quite there yet, so.
All right. Well, look, keep in mind, Kelly, that what I have provided you with is a template. And if you have to color a little bit outside the line, that's okay. But it's just we are providing you with a template. And if you're covering, you know, all the bases, we're fine with you coloring outside the line. And, you know, and with regards to family, you know, I know how important that is. And, in fact, you know, I got that feedback too. And it makes you stop and think about what your priorities are sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you, like one of the things I enjoyed doing, you know, when my kids were a little younger is I liked to play golf on Saturday because I didn't have much time to do it during the week. But during the week, they didn't get a chance to see me as much. So what I would do is I'd get up again nice and early, which I really didn't want to do, but I would tee it up at 7 and be home by 11:30 or 12 to take them out to lunch, my two boys, have an activity with them, go to the movies, and that's how, and then the evening I could spend, you know, with my spouse. So that's kind of how I do it. And it's like, you know, doggone it, you got to get everybody on a schedule. And you got to schedule time, you know, for the spouse and for the kids and do the kind of special things that they want you to do with them. So you recognize it and get them on the schedule too.
Right.
It's the quality time that really is meaningful.
There you go.
You know, that they go back and they think about. It doesn't have to be every weekend we're off to Disney World, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so, good.
Even though I will say I've been to more theme parks and I'm theme parked out, but, you know, you, you know, you got to... That's just two.
Yeah.
Well, but they're adults now, so.
Yeah.
But I remember those days, and so it's important. And, you know, look, it goes without saying, you know, my father was in the military. He was in the Army for 25 years, and there were like 6 of us, and I was the oldest. And, you know, there were times when he would be on some maneuvers in the Carolinas for 60 days, and there were times when, you know, he, you know, went to Vietnam twice.
Wow.
And, but the one thing that I do remember is, I remember sometimes, like on a Sunday afternoon after church, he'd put us in the car, and we'd just go for a drive, stop by, we were up in the Monterey area, we'd stop off and throw rocks in the ocean, do things like that. So
Monterey Carmel?
Yep, yeah.
Oh, we, Lord. It,
there used to be a military base up there called Fort Ord.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
and,
Fort Ord. In fact, I went to a wedding for a buddy that got married at the Monterey Language Institute. He was in the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
The language program there.
Are absolutely.
But yeah, we were college roommates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I remember doing that as a young kid, and that's before the place got really busy, but those are the days when you could drive on a freeway and you'd see one car about every 10 minutes. Doesn't exist now.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, look, some of the week number 9 material, which is acquisition and leadership. So the acquisition model for Supernova is to, you know, grow to about 90 prospects. And that's a choice that you have to make is how many that you want to have in the pipeline. But if you've got to half of that, and maintain the prospect base for, you know, your practice of about 35 to 40, that would probably be pretty good, okay? But you want to get prospects into the pipeline, and one of the areas that we do here, and we look at what does that really mean? And so what we do is we translate it into 90 prospects, having 6 centers of influence, and the 4-member mastermind group. Now, with the 6 centers of influence, it's important that you educate them. So you're already demonstrating that when you met with that CPA and talking to them about Supernova and how it works. It's a 4-member mastermind group. If you decide that you are going to use a mastermind group where you might have one CPA, one attorney, maybe there's a realtor in the group, what have you, but this is the mutual support society where everybody is helping each other grow and get quality clients. Okay? So that's your 4-member mastermind group. And then you might be serving on a community board. And under this, there's 2 community boards that the team has. And then there's 2 niche markets, okay? And 1 social networking strategy, which might be LinkedIn, where you're posting once every 2 weeks to a constituency out there that starts to recognize your value on social media. Okay. So that's really the model. 90-6-4-2-2-1. Okay. Now, in terms of the pipeline, you have to really manage your pipeline based on, you know, how many clients do you want to have by the end of the year? How many net new households with your targeted minimum? Now, I know that you're in the process of doing your plan, and your plan is going to probably answer that question. So if you look at your target in terms of the type of client that you're looking to bring in, what's the number? Do you want to add 20? Do you want to add 25? Do you want to add 30 new households? So one of the aspects of the model, I want to go through the math. So if you had 100 clients and they gave you 6 introductions per year, you would have 600 potential prospects. That's a lot. If you had 6 centers of influence and they gave you 12 quality introductions per year, that would be another 60 potential prospects. If you had a 4-member mastermind group and they gave you 8 introductions per year, that would be 32 potential prospects. And if you had the 2 niche markets that you were focusing on, concentrated on a demographic that gave you 10 introductions per year, that would be 20 potential prospects based on penetration. And I would assume, I'm going to make this assumption, that when you get a personal introduction, that your close rate is probably over 90%. Would that be accurate?
I think it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you are going to struggle... Yeah,
let me,
go ahead.
Let me qualify that. Some of the people that are introducing us right now to people are doing it in the third way, and it's the least desirable way. You know, it's the electronic handshake type thing. And so like I'm doing a meeting on Friday with one where we got introduced that way, and I really need to sit down with the COI and just see if we can at least get him up to the second level, if not the first level, with the personal intro. So,
right.
Because, it, I mean, essentially, that is going to affect your long-term close rate because it's your first contact with them, you know? I mean,
right.
Now, we'll take them that way. I'm not saying we won't, but I just think it's one of those things where I really need to be more proactive about at the onset of the introduction process, just saying, hey, you know, yeah. We can do this a couple of several different ways, but I think if you really want to go mano-a-mano and be a partner in this thing, which he does, you know, we probably ought to invest a little extra time, whether in person or via conference call, and not just rely on email, because we all get 300 of these things a day, and they start to kind of lose their...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, just a quick thought on that.
Perfect thought.
I wouldn't say it's 90 if you look at it from the standpoint of, well, where are you on every single one of these? But when you get to a final yes or no, I think we're north of 85. I know that.
Yeah. So what I would say here is that also when you get the personal introduction, it shortens up your close time. You know, when it's by phone, it could take 6 weeks, maybe longer. But when you get the personal introduction, and you're sitting around and you're having lunch or coffee or what have you, and you're with this prospect, everybody's got to eat something sometime. And so when you have a personal introduction that way, you're going to be shortening up your close ratio and opening up the accounts a lot quicker. All right. So good point. So then your two nonprofit boards, don't get on any finance committees or any investment committees so that you're not conflicted. But essentially, you want to be on these boards that have some really good people on them. You know, something simple like I was on the board of the Bay Area Y, and there were 16 Ys. And the budget is about $60 million. They had a, you know, $20 million endowment. But the board members were business owners, doctors, business executives, people who, if I was in production, I wouldn't mind having as clients. And we got to know each other. We had social events and things together. So that's the, and they were also centers of influence. So that's the whole purpose of looking at a community board. Okay. And Audra, I'd like you to think about this because one area in which, you will certainly find, more women who are so focused on our communities is in the nonprofit arena. So there's some statistics on that. I don't have them in front of me, but that's certainly something to be thinking about. Okay.
I'm very active in the nonprofit area.
He is really good at that sort of thing.
Okay. Perfect.
Like almost scared. I mean, frighteningly good getting involved in that sort of thing. And our two big areas right now are cancer research and education.
Education
in particular.
Wow. Okay. So I like that. That's great. So, you know, to kind of clean this up a little bit, how many of your prospects are qualified? Do they meet your target minimum? How long does it take you on average to close them? How often do you meet with them? And the best thing to do is that they get the folder and put on your scheduler. so that they don't fall through the cracks. And the whole concept of this 90 piece is it's really a 90-day free look with prospects where they get an opportunity to kick the tires. Now, some you might close in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but you've given them the ability to test drive the car where you're going to treat them as if they were a client for a period of 90 days. They're going to get their executive summaries. They're going to get a topic. They're going to have discussions. You're going to discuss their agenda first. And you're going to treat them as if they were clients. So that's how you would be handling the prospects and scheduling them and maintaining them, the 90-day free look. Okay. Your mastermind group is you're identifying influencers, and usually once you get the one, this is somebody, these are people that you wouldn't mind inviting over for a dinner. And some of them might be friends, but they're on your mastermind group. And like I say, I like to call it a mutual support society where each person is looking to help grow each other's business and practice. And once you get the first person, the two of you then decide how you're going to screen for the selection of the third. Once you get the third, the three of you decide how you're going to screen to get the fourth. And the leadership, and the leadership of the group rotates. So, you know, 1 month you might be running the agenda and then, you know, going to each person, what's on your mind, what are you interested in, you know, what challenges are you facing with your business, just having the discussion, and it rotates. And so you have, and you'd have stories during your monthly meeting. They can make introductions. Each person has a folder, and each month a different person tells their story and leads the meeting, which creates these cross-referral opportunities. Okay, so that's your mastermind group. Now, your niche market, which you carve out, so you've got the retiree pension area is one of your niches, and so you get your two niche markets, and you're working those. You're already doing that. So by way of wrap-up, you've got to complete handing out your mini-me folders, get all clients scheduled, get your prospects scheduled, and maybe start thinking about the first member of your mastermind group and your COIs, and I think you're working that with your enthusiastically endorsed model. All right. Questions about anything that we were covered in terms of what the mathematics looks like in terms of your five resources for growth for the future?
I've got just a comment.
Okay.
I'm getting more and more inquiries from people about LinkedIn, and I love the concept. I mean, because it's just really playing off of that 1 or 2 or 3 degrees, or however many degrees of separation between relationships, and so I would like to make that a priority, is to get an active LinkedIn profile. But I'm concerned, one, about how to set it up. I think there's somebody that I can talk to external to the firm that can kind of provide some guidance on that. I'm just more or less kind of having a, just a, to Otter and Bridge, just I think we're missing an opportunity by not being on LinkedIn. And I don't want to belabor the point. I just want to make sure that we get to it before too long, because I think it can help things.
Okay, let me make up.
One's in your 964221. I guess the one was having some sort of a online
social media presence.
So I would vote for LinkedIn, but I'm curious to hear what the others might say about it offline, just to get their thoughts and views on it too. But I just think LinkedIn might be a really good way to sort of build the social network, so to speak, in a virtual environment.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, when somebody punches in your name on LinkedIn on a search engine, they can find you on LinkedIn. You know, you'll have a LinkedIn profile that'll be in the search engines. So, but, you know, feel free to, to talk to me about that.
Okay.
And, you know, because, look, what would you expect for a person like me? Okay. I'm a consultant and a coach, so my groups are, I'm in an RIA group, I'm in a wealth management group, I'm in a investment wholesalers group, I'm in a the Merrill Lynch alumni has a group with 19,000 members.
Holy cow.
These other three have anywhere from 11 to 20,000 members. Wharton has a group. I'm in that. My two universities have groups.
Yeah.
Of 20 to 30,000 alumni. So, you know, it's like, it does take time to work it. Okay, you know, you want to enter in some conversations and get some personal relationships going, and you want to, you know, post periodically. And your posts can be things that have been written by your firm, and where you just include it, you know, to go out to all your constituencies to make it really easy. So, or if one of your analysts has recorded a video and your firm allows you to post it, then you can post a short video that's done by others. And they can like or dislike the post, but, you know, economic overview, market's too high, whatever. But, yeah, that's how you start to work your social media presence. And then what ends up happening is when people have anniversaries at work, you send out a little congratulatory note, you know, great going, congrats on 5 years at X, Y, and Z, or congratulations on your promotion. You know, that's how you start to work LinkedIn. So again, with anything, you got to decide, you know, who's going to, when you look at the initiatives in your business plan that you're going to take on, you've got to figure out who wants to take ownership of the LinkedIn social media piece. Not that they do all the work, but that they are going to take ownership. So just be mindful that, you know, you've got only so much bandwidth here. But you should at least have a presence. Okay. I've enjoyed speaking with you. I'm going to go on my next appointment. If you have any questions, please send me an email, or if you want to talk further, I'm happy to do that. And otherwise, have a great rest of your week, and I will chat with you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis.
Hey, you're quite welcome, and keep up the great work, guys. You're doing a super job. Bye-bye.